and welcome everybody to the Great American Golf Show. I'm Ray Adams, your caddy for the show. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Wherever you are in the world, you know that you can listen to this show and my sister show, the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, coming up on Monday evenings and Saturday mornings. This Great American Golf Show for 26 years now. You can hear both shows and television as well, Match Play with Ray Adams, over at the Golf News Net, golfnewsnet.com, 1.5 million visitors per month go to that website. What a job Ryan Ballingy does, and such a wonderful writer, interviewer. He is definitely has his thoughts, and he lets you know them over at golfnewsnet.com. You go into the radio tab, you'll find my shows. You go into the TV tab, you should find a Match Play with Ray Adams. But otherwise, they're then sent, after just a couple of days there, everything is then sent over to all the big platforms. Now, if you want to be on my big summer golf product guide, which is going out on Monday morning, plenty of time for Father's Day, and for the full summer, my big summer golf product guide is coming out. And if you want to get that, there's still time to get you on the list. You write to me, golfadams@msn.com, golfadams@msn.com, and I will make sure that you are on the list and that you not only get that big product guide, but you get my holiday guides around throughout the year. And so many more things happening going on when you get me your email address. So write to me, golfadams@msn.com. All right. Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Craig Renshaw, our big, huge golf instructor on with us today. And Craig, we're welcoming everybody back from a 2-week hiatus for the Memorial Day holiday season. Wow, what a wonderful weekend last weekend was for so many reasons. I hope everybody had a very happy and fun with your family and friends, and safe, of course, holiday weekend, but also that you took time to remember what Memorial Day is all about. And there is a difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day. And, you know, maybe Dr. Bob will tell us, because here comes Dr. Bob Denny, PGA of America historian emeritus. We are all back together. I am so glad. And we're going to rock and roll here. Dr. Bob, welcome to the show. And what's the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day?
Veterans Day signifies the closing of the World War I universally at the time. And that date in history, November 11th, will always stand around the world for how it changed generations, honoring those that served in uniform. Memorial Day is to commemorate those past who sacrificed either in combat or otherwise, returning from home. And it's a solemn time. It's also a time for us to honor and understand the sacrifices that go into it. I'm especially drawn to Washington, D.C., to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the black granite slab. And 300 yards south of that is a women's veterans. And what the women's veterans thing signifies is how the nurses, actually 10,000 total, actually were in uniform helping helping those that were sacrificed in war.
Oh, that's a wonderful nugget right there. So we're already kicked off with some nuggets, folks. I've always grown up knowing and believing that Memorial Day was when we honor and remember. That's where memorial is. Remember, memorial. Those that were fallen in battle and died for our country. Veterans Day being honoring all veterans from all military forces, that whether they, you know, were killed in action or they're veterans today. We honor all of our military veterans during Veterans Day. So thank you so much for all of that, Bob. And you know, I look at it, I have to say happy birthday to my son. He is just one of those great guys. They call him at work a unicorn. And I don't know if we want to define that word or not, of what in modern day language that means, but there are unicorns out there in different industries and in society. And my understanding of the word is that it means that you are a very, very unique person. There's really not many others like you, if any. So, happy birthday to Coleman. Love you, son. And can't wait to talk to you and see you soon. Craig, are you a unicorn? I think maybe.
Oh, I don't know about that. I guess maybe I should be a unicorn because I'm not sure we want many more of me. So I guess, yeah, let's make me a unicorn.
I don't know. We might need some more of you out there, Craig.
Oh,
We've
no. We don't need any more of me. That's for sure.
Okay, well, that'll be your opinion, and the rest of us will make that decision, right,
Yep.
Dr. Bob? All right. Here's our wonderful, maybe the greatest golf historian alive in the country today, Dr. Bob Denny. We're so proud to have you, Bob. Where we begin, Bob? I'm going to throw it over to you.
Well, I look back on the past week, and I saw obviously a golf course or Aunt Lanny Watkins had redesigned to try to make tougher. It only became easier, and that's what's sad about the event that took the PGA Cup Byron Nelson at TPC Craig Ranch. No relation to Craig Renshaw, I'm sure,
No,
but
well, Craig Ranch and Craig
yes,
Renshaw sound alike. I don't know. Maybe he
right.
is in there. Okay.
And Wyndham Clark, when he makes his final run, he's trailing by two, and he wins by three, and shooting a final round 60. He's the first golfer in history to have two closing 60s to win an event in PGA Tour history, which is stands alone as of an accomplishment. Obviously, regardless of the conditions, anybody that can pull that off on a final round, 260s, that's pretty amazing. And but it does goes back to things we've talked about in previously shows is. If you make a golf course harder using the simple tactics of green positions of flags and also rough and all kind of situations and how the fairways are pinched, you're not going to shoot 30 under par every week. But that was the thing that made it so I guess a little deflating after you watch a really nice PGA Championship in Ronnemick and where those scores were fighting for par. Fighting for par. And I just think that if we're going to be in a position to be watching this, we're going to lose viewership. We're not going to see much. It's like watching an NBA playoff game. It's supposed to be a good battle and it ends up winning by 30 or 20 points.
Yeah.
You've lost your viewership halfway through the game.
Craig, it was just too easy of a golf course. I remember when they built Craig Ranch out there, in the Dallas area. And I actually I don't want to confuse this with Stevens Ranch now, but I believe that I remember that, if I'm not mistaken. It's just too easy of a golf course, Craig. I mean, do we really want to watch him play like that? I mean, I was kind of bored with it. I turned it on and off here and there.
That's 2 years in a row. I mean, Scotty did it last year. Day one, I believe they played ball in hand on day one, which is even going to make it crazier. I guess you could have the contrast of what they did in the Open, or excuse me, what they did in the PGA Championship, and then what they're going to do. There you can have the highs and the lows, and I guess that's an extreme high that, I mean, as far as what they're going to get, and then what we're going to get in a couple weeks with the Open at Shinnecock, if you go by what they usually have out there. I guess those are the extremes. I agree. I think I'd be very I would love to know the viewership. I guess they maybe they get the numbers and say we like more of that, but to me it if we were just using the analogy of the basketball game. I don't want to see layups the whole time. I don't want to see dunks the whole time. To me, there's a lot more other skills to see that. I just don't want to see birdies. When I played baseball and going to baseball games, I was talking to a friend yesterday. I like to see 2-1 baseball games. I don't need to see 10-9. There has to be a happy medium there. And that golf course, whether there's weather or not, they're going to go deep on that golf course. So that's what it's going to be all the time. Maybe change the format. Maybe make it maybe that's the event that we need to do like they used to do the international in that if you make all those birdies, it worked. Maybe change the format to encourage that there. I don't know. But I agree with both of you. I think it's a bore.
Yeah, I'm just I'm just over it already. I was over it during the event, and it's great. You know, look, it's a great win for Wyndham Clark. He needed a win. He got his win. That's fine. But as far as it goes, it came and went, and for me, it was with a little bit of a blink of the eye and a you know a little bit of a tug in the cheek. But we have another big event going on. This is such steeped in tradition, Craig. Tell me about the Colonial, which they have completely renamed to the Schwab Cup. And tell me a little bit about the Colonial. Have you been to Colonial Country Club and played there or been there?
I've never been there, but it's one of the old veterans of the PGA Tour, and they've done a lot of things to that golf course over the last couple decades to try to keep it relevant. I remember when it was a big deal to go there, and similar to what's happened to the Arnold Palmer, what happened to the Bob Hope. Which I assume will happen if, when we lose Jack, the Memorial. A lot of those tournaments seem to lose, you know, when Hogan passed, it lost when Dallas lost, when Byron Nelson, it loses something. And then the tour, because all they're interested in is the money, that tournament will become less and less relevant. And that's the way that tournament has become. It really doesn't draw much of a field anymore. It's a good golf course. They've redesigned it. They made it much tougher in the last little bit. But it will continue to struggle, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's not around when they redo the schedule in what is it, 2027 or 2028.
Yeah. Bob has been talked around about that this golf tournament is in jeopardy of maybe going away.
Yeah, it's possible. And I and segue into that after Craig, I would like to point out that there's two organizations in Florida that are very happy this week. Their tournaments are not going away in 2027, and it's been reorganized and they've re revamped the Florida swing. So if the Colonial is going to survive, it has to have its own spot somewhere and some kind of juice to keep it rolling. But right now, I don't know if you saw this, but the Florida swing will kick off with a Cognizant Classic right down the street from me. Then the Cadillac moves up to two. The Players go to three. Arnold Palmer goes to four, and Valspar goes to five. So they're in good shape for at least for 2027.
That's right. Okay, sounds great, guys. What about, we really do have a very, very, very special event going on, but I think we should stop and pause and look at look at this leaderboard a little bit at least, and just have some fun. I think this event is going to be a wonderful event. I really do, and I think that when you look at the when you look at JJ Spahn's play and some of the others play, I'm going to be into this Colonial a lot more this weekend than I certainly was last weekend. What about you, Craig?
Well, I would agree. I mean, the history and the tradition of that, and it, you know, JJ being there, it's not surprising. You know, your best ball strikers will be there. Your best drivers of the golf ball will be there. You know, but like I said, it'll be interesting to see if how this is this tournament's around in a couple of years. It's a good golf course, and you know, but what do they have? Four events in that area throughout the year? Three, four? You know, so it'll be a challenge to see which ones survive in that area.
Yeah. All right. Well, very good. Let's move on over to the LPGA, Dr. Bob. There is something very special happening. Let's get right into it.
Well, they're playing a 54-hole event this week in Galloway, New Jersey. It's the ShopRite Classic.
Yep.
And I noticed that Nelly's not in the field, but they have a number of strong contingents. And Jennifer Kupcho has had a good start to the year. She's there. Charlie Hall's returning and seeing if she's getting back to form. And We just have an unbelievable monaghan of talented Asian players, and they are all coming to the top. And this will be, like I said, a 54-hole event for them as a warm-up for next week, which is the
Yep.
Women's Open at Riviera Country Club.
That's right. That's what I meant by the big, very special event coming up. So they're warming up this week. And next week, boy, are we going to have a big event at Riviera Country Club. I don't believe the ladies have ever played Riviera Country Club before, certainly not for a U.S. Open. And I don't know that they've had other events there, Bob, have they?
I don't believe they have, no, at this point.
All right. When we look at the leaderboard, we've got some great names there, and we're going to continue looking this weekend at the ladies playing. But I think one other, speaking of the ladies, we've got the collegiate going on. And I know Stanford had a big day the other day, but tell me a little bit about what's going on with the collegiate tournament.
Well, the best I can tell you is that I saw just unbelievable ceremonies of celebration from Stanford by winning over USC and established themselves. I think it was something like 3 of the last 4 years or something like that. They've had a tremendous tradition at Stanford going way back, and I think the most recent was Rose Zhang, I think, was the greatest, most recent star-studded alumnus come out of Stanford, and a school that also was where Tiger Woods spent a couple of years. And I just felt that they just dominated the proceedings on TV. Looked very solid. Those women could compete right now in the Augusta Women's Amateur at any point, I think.
I do too. All right. What's going on over with Liv? They're in Korea. And Bryson sure hopes things are going to move forward and there's going to be something to happen there. My goodness gracious. You tell me, what do you make of it, Craig?
Well, I think Liv is in flux right now. I was talking to a couple friends of mine the other day about it. And we've talked about it on the show, I believe. I do not believe this is the original idea of what Liv was. I just don't believe that Norman wanted to play this many events around the world. I just don't believe that. So with them losing their funding for next year, they're talking about similar to the PGA Tour, cutting down a few events, making a few bigger, making some more smaller, and things like that. I think this gets closer to what the original idea was. 8, 10 events, maybe something like once a month, take a few months off, whatever it is, put a couple into these big things, work around the majors and the big events that we have in golf, and we're going to send them to a country and they're going to play a lot of golf. I see Liv doing that. And it wouldn't surprise me if that's where they go to come next year or the next year after that.
All right, very good. Liv, Bob, with everything going on over the years with Liv, they quietly built their league or their tour or what have you as a global tour to bring golf to places that really had not seen or had golf the way that it was. I believe that and then of course the entire clash with I don't know what to say, the clash with the PGA Tour, I don't know.
Ray, can I ask a question?
Please.
I would really like to know how Liv is viewed other parts of the world. How's it looked at in Korea? How's it looked at in Australia? How's it looked at in South America? I'll bet it's not frowned upon like it is in America. I really don't. I don't know how it's looked at in England or Scotland. The DP Tour isn't happy with all their good players being, taken over here.
Right.
That's something they haven't liked for a really long
I
time.
was going to say, but Craig, this has been going on for years and years and years and
That's it.
years. You come up through the ranks over in Europe, you play the European Tour, now the DP World Tour, And you make a beeline for the United States PGA Tour as soon as you possibly qualify to do so, right?
So I just don't believe that Liv is viewed, and between the three of us, we get a very skewed look as to what Liv is, and a one dimensional view. I'll bet in those other countries, in those other places where they're taking it, it's not looked at, and the press they're getting is not as, I know it's not as negative as what it is here. And it wouldn't surprise me if the numbers in India, the numbers in Korea, the numbers here, the numbers over in China, all those places they're going, if the numbers aren't really good over there, it would not surprise me at all.
Well, that's been the history of the DP World Tour. They're, I think, still hurting. Bob, where is it going to go for the DP World Tour? What's going to happen with the European Tour? What do you project?
With the European Tour,
The DP World.
DP World Tour, I think will never. I don't think it's in bad shape right now. I think they're feeling pretty good, to be honest with you. And I think they found that they can play both ends against these players who want to come back. They have their limits of fines. They have their requests for their in their policies for X number of tournaments. Live like Craig said. It's unbelievable they could even try 14 events at those kind of prices and those kind of purses around the country, around the world. But I have seen viewerships, not numbers, but I've seen more excitement and stands filled and galleries following in Australia. I watched it in India. I watched it in Malaysia. I've seen it much more improved upon, which Craig makes a great point, is we're not getting. We're not hit, getting that. We're getting a skewed view of it over here because we're dealing with the tradition on this side. Back to what you're saying about the DP World Tour, they are finding that they're a little bit more solvent than at the present time because of some sponsorships they've had, and also it's interesting that Aramco plays such a big part in helping the women's LET Tour. So they're funding 6 events around the world. Helping them. So it's not a lost cause, but they found that they can juggle themselves. And I don't, I'm just speaking for some people I know over there that they're not in dire straits. Let's put it that way.
All right, DP World Tour information, and there's so many great things going on. I want to stop for just a moment and say thank you so much to one of our new sponsors from the PGA Merchandise Show. They're a company called Freeballer at freeballer.com, and they name their company Freeballer because you get free golf balls when you're out on the golf course. Now, you do this in accordance with the rules of the golf course and where you are and the different opportunities that you have. But it's a very special ball retriever that actually lights up a UV light, and you can see these golf balls even in the dark. So it's an interesting product from the PGA Merchandise Show. It's innovative, part of the new inventor spotlight. There's a great video of me with the guys that invented it, the two brothers, and that own the company. You can go to freeballer.com and find out a whole lot more and get yours. I really like this product. I think it's pretty cool. And we did a great video that's over on YouTube. I believe it's over on my YouTube site at Match Play TV. That's where you find me on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, Match Play TV. So I just want to, reach out and say, thanks to Freeballer for becoming a new sponsor of these shows. And we're going to have some fun with that product. We'll have the guys on that invented it. And I always like to have inventors on for innovation. I also have to thank Squares Golf Shoes with me so many years now, right from the very moment they appeared at the PGA show, right from the very moment Bob Winskowitz created the company and opened it up to the public. Bob and I have been together, and I thank them so much for continuing right on seamlessly through 2026 with me. And then I also have to say thank you to CertaFresh Cigar. CertaFresh Cigar, again, the same thing. Years and years together now, CertaFresh Cigar. So with that, we're going to return back to our conversation, and we're going to do this right after we take a little bit of a little bit of a break. And I'm going to take an offer for you From you, if you'll write to me at golfadams@msn.com, I'm not only going to get you in on all my emails for the gift guides and all of that, but I'm also going to put you in a position where you can win a special gift. And it's going to be from Tour Edge Golf. It could be from Squares. I have some gift certificates there as well. But Tour Edge Golf has offered me their new putter is out. And we're going to be having John Claffey from Tour Edge Golf on very soon. We're going to be talking about that. And if you write to me, golfadams@msn.com, I'm going to be keeping those very special emails that come into me. And we're going to have you with an offer to possibly get a gift from touredge.com. All right, on that note, please listen to these special messages, and we're going to be back in just a moment with a lot more talk. And well, I think you're going to hear Dr. Bob give us some nuggets. Craig will weigh in, and we're going to move into a very special conversation about a topic and a person that needs to be talked about. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tee holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
Greetings and welcome back, everybody. Ray Adams here on Great American Golf. Thank you so much for listening to those important messages that hoping you like those products and that they're going to help not only change your game, especially if you are wearing square shoes. Sir Nick Faldo says change your shoes and you're going to change your game. But the other messages that are there too, very important, helpful. I hope you like them. We're back on Great American Golf. Ray Adams again with Dr. Bob Denny and Craig Renshaw. So here we are back together, guys. And I'm telling you, there was a big flap in the world of golf when they let Don Ray go. Craig, I'm going to start with you. You're a lifetime member of the PGA of America. Don Ray from Phoenix, Arizona, owner of a nice golf course here, Augusta Ranch. And Don was, of course, shut down as far as any interviews or any appearances at any PGA events. He did not give the trophy away at the PGA Championship. He was noticeably absent, but he had been given his place to support the members in sections around the country and other events that he was going to be able to go to and do things for. But absolutely, he could not open his mouth. He could have no interviews, no nothing. And I was told that he couldn't even have an interview and talk about his own golf course, completely off the record as far as being a PGA president of America. So then they fire the guy. You tell me, Craig.
Well,
the joke.
I think I texted you and Dr. Bob on that. I mean, I mentioned this, I don't even know how long ago, 6-7 months ago, and we had all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of this is done. I would assume everything that's being done is being done by the board. Dr. Bob may have some more info. I think this latest action shows how inadequate of an organization we are. Mm-hmm. We should be well past this. And the way of muting him and making him a irrelevant president was the wrong thing to do. However that came about, that should have been done. If they've decided it, it should have been done 7-8 months ago. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have been done end of May after we're, you know, naming our other Ryder Cup president and president. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just shows how unorganized and whoever the people are that are making the decisions right now are really making bad decisions one after another, after another, after another. And it's a series of things that is continuing to happen through my organization.
Mm-hmm. So was it the list of grievances that they pinned on Don that used him as a scapegoat, Craig? Because I read one position or piece where the writer's position was that if Don had a hand in anything to do with going to Bethpage for the Ryder Cup, he should have been let go. He had to be gone. Well, doesn't that mean that if anybody else had a hand in choosing Bethpage as the venue, they had to be gone too? Which means the entire executive staff, which means all of the board, all of the president, vice president, secretary of the PGA of America, and many more probably that had a hand in making that decision quite a long time ago, needs to be gone. Now, Correct. You tell me, where am I going wrong?
Well, I no, and you've made this argument with me a couple times. I don't think Don was responsible for anything at Bethpage.
I don't either.
I think his responses were horrible. I don't know, and I've said this for the longest time, if that was on Don Ray, if that was on the media people. I don't know if he went out as a rogue person and said, "But here's the series of notes we want you to say," and he went off script and did something on his own. I have no idea of that, but we couldn't get any of that information because he wouldn't say anything. Right. And you and I have had a heated discussion about this. The part of the problem is that he didn't have the guts to come out and say, "I'm going to tell you what happened." And that's the problem that I've had with this from the very beginning. No. Nobody's being transparent. Nobody's being honest with what the problem is.
Upon the finish of the Ryder Cup, he was shut down. He couldn't tell you anything. They wouldn't let him.
This is where we have gone, and you and I will butt heads. He could have said something, but he didn't want to lose his job. Well, guess
that's
what?
True.
He did exactly what they wanted him to do, and he still lost his job.
And
which
he still
means
lost.
He should have been transparent and been honest from the very beginning.
There you go. I totally agree with that. And, you know, the thing is, though, you can't predict that if you open your mouth, you lose your job. You can go on what they're telling you, that if you do, you know, put a muzzle on it and you don't say anything and you just go about your business quietly around the country until November when his term ends, that you will continue your presidency as far as your emeritus presidency afterwards and the benefits that go with that. But in the end, it didn't matter. He lost it anyway. Dr. Bob, weigh in here.
Okay. First of all, a little history. Bethpage was announced as a Ryder Cup site in September of 2023. Uh-huh. And I can guarantee you that the research before 2023 was at least a couple years with a totally different group of people. So Don was not involved in that. And there are a number of people currently in position in the building in Frisco, Texas, who are not involved with that. Mm-hmm. So many of them were involved long ago and were my colleagues here in Palm Beach Gardens. That's the history part. The other part is I totally agree with Craig that if you're going to deal with a crisis in public relations, you deal it from the head straight on. Uh-huh. You do not let it fester. You not let it lag. That's the only way to deal with this. we because of this, we've had 43 women, 43 men and one woman serve as president in the PGA of America since 1916. 43 men, one woman. Okay. Well, it's never been on a stable run since Susie Whaley left her point of office during the pandemic. I think it's just been a sort of an up and down roller coaster of emotions, really misguided public relations efforts since that time. And I'm just watching it from the outside, looking in.
Well, we all are. And the thing is that we've been on the outside looking in on the whole live thing. We've been on the outside looking in on the clash with the PGA Tour. We've been on the outside looking in on really the palace intrigue and all of the boy, if I could be a fly on the wall over in Frisco, Texas, the
Well,
go ahead.
Ray, so I mean, see, so as somebody who was just getting in the business when a lot of this stuff started happening many, many years ago, this has been brewing in the PGA since they left Palm Beach Gardens and went up to Port St. Lucie. A lot of people didn't want that, and people didn't understand it. And now you've taken Port St. Lucie, and now you've gone to Frisco, Texas. A lot of people don't like that. A lot of our members don't understand why we keep moving. A lot of people don't agree with that, but that's what they're doing. So this is brewing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's a problem that has been increasing in value of frustration and anger in PGA members for over 25 years right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Craig. When I'm not a member of the PGA, but I'm a big supporter of the PGA of America. As a matter of fact, they ought to hire me to be one of their ambassadors. Are you kidding? All of the coverage and the media and the radio shows and everything. I've had Don on my show, Jim Richardson on my television show over the years, and there's just been a whole lot of coverage and talk and support by your humble correspondent over here for the PGA of America. Okay. With that said, I still feel like I'm an outsider looking in, and I believe that there are ten, there are thousands and thousands and thousands reading through all of the replies and the responses and the comments over the last few weeks from PGA members. And you've got a tremendous amount of them that think Don Rae should have been fired. He should have been gone, that he was in over his head. He should have never been even elected. Well, I'm very sorry. He was elected by his constituency, and that's the way that it is. It's over.
Well, see, then in reality, that's not necessarily true, though.
Well, who elected him?
Well, we don't all get to vote.
Who elected him?
Delegates at the PGA annual meeting, Ray.
Yeah, but don't they go off of the whatever the overwhelming support for a
No.
candidate is?
No.
Okay, let's dive into this one for a minute. This is brilliant. I love this.
I mean, this is not like you go to the
Yeah, you're not
polls
going to a ballot
in
box.
November and putting a
Right.
ballot down. No, and that's like I said, that's the frustration that a lot of us members have right now is that's not what's being done.
Okay,
And
but
it
if he
hasn't been
was
done.
elected or put into place, let's say, at the, by the delegates or what have you, at the PGA of America and was, put into his secretarial position and then vice president in 2 years, and 2 years later, then the presidency, you tell me, Bob, how does it happen? Why did they pick Don Rae? But if they did, or he was voted at a ballot box, I don't think it really matters. They put him in. The PGA of America put Don Rae in, and not Bob Smith or Harry Long or Billy this or, PGA lady member that. They put Don Rae in. So how did it happen, and why aren't they standing behind it?
Well, it happened because the system exists for the last 30 years in governance within the PGA. Delegates go to the meetings. There's meetings and upon meetings, and I'm sure Craig has seen this or heard from this. And those that are in those meetings, form their coalitions to support a candidate. And they have groups of coalitions. And by the time that person gets the stage for the first round or wherever it may be, they get the number of coalitions of X number of sections. And there's 41 in the country, 41 sections, and they get those on their plate. If they're with them, it's just like going to a Republican or a Democratic national convention and saying X number of states and their delegations are supporting this candidate. And then all of a sudden the groundswell is there. They give in to that. The voting's gone and it's electronically done at your little chair. That's in a nutshell. It's a very fast nutshell.
Well, all I know is Don Ray is gone. He said it came as a complete shock to him.
Yeah, because he survived. He thought he'd done everything right now again.
Well, but you tell me, how do you think Don feels about all this?
Well, he's got a reason to be angry. Like I said, if he would say something that we would understand, there's so many questions. If, like I said, if
Oh, I
the
think
answers
he
he,
will eventually, don't you think
well,
he'll talk?
who knows? But the
Well,
point is, if the answers he gave that caused the biggest uproar at the Ryder Cup, his answers, if those were something that were given to him from the media people, then he's got a right to be just livid. If he went off on his own and made these comments and did all this stuff on his own and they didn't give him anything, then in a lot of ways he brought a lot of it on himself.
They didn't give him any talking points. That's clear. So that's on
So,
them.
well, we don't know that. We don't know
Well,
that because Don never said that.
nobody's ever said they didn't, but no one's ever said that they did. I can't wait to find out if they did. I will tell everybody this at this point. I did about a 5-minute video with Don at the Ryder Cup. Now, I've known Don Ray for 20 years. He's one of the most stand-up guys I've ever met. He's a lifetime member of the PGA. He's a former umpire. He is a man of his word. He's a man of faith. Don feels that there were some things that he said post Ryder Cup about some things that may have been, fuel to the fire. But I can't help but believe at the end of the day that Don was used as a scapegoat, Dr. Bob. Tell me where
Agreed.
I'm going wrong.
I just saw a comment from Jim Furyk to say the external pressure upon the PGA of America is like combustible. And then he used those kind of words. And I think the pressure involved in it and the lack of a sound public relations crisis management program crashed in. It's made us look bad. And that has hurt more than anything. It's just not, it's more than just Don that's coming out. Feeling bad about the whole thing. And there's a lot of people out there that feel that the PGA of America has been poorly represented to the general public.
And they will not be transparent with their membership. I read, I don't know how many hundreds of comments about that. And their membership is really not involved in the big decision making. Craig, they should be, shouldn't they?
Well, you would hope so. But this is, like I said, this is where the frustration has bubbled over. And like I said, why get rid of him now if he's done everything that they asked him to do? And the reason is because they got tired of everybody on the message boards and everybody complaining to, where the hell's our president? I mean, that eventually, like, well, yeah, if we're just going to have him, walk behind the wall and nobody's going to see him, then what the hell do we have him here for? And everybody go, yeah, you're right. But
Do
now,
you?
as we said at the Ryder Cup, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered. And typically in PGA form, guess what? We're not going to answer them. Okay, we'll just
So,
continue to do the same thing.
well, do you think that in modern day golf and with the golf ecosystem changing right in front of our eyes to becoming not so much about the game as it is now about the culture of golf. And there's a lot of things going on right now out there with not just products, but organizations. You got the whole ball grab, rollback of the ball fight going on. You've got all sorts of things changing with the PGA Tour, and really all the tours. Although the ladies, they're the most stable, and they're in, I think, the best position as far as PR goes. I tell you, the LPGA has got it going on.
Well, I'd argue that point.
Well, why don't they, Craig? I mean, seriously, I think as far as I think as far as the viewer, I think as far as the fan, the approachability, I think as far as the day in and day out watching
Yes,
the LPGA
but
Tour,
the
they don't
ladies
have
tour,
any of these huge controversies going on. They don't
and
have
that's
any of
because
this.
they're picking up scraps off everybody else, right? They're also not very influential in any of this
Well,
stuff.
I don't know if they're picking up scratch playing at what is it, $10 or $12 million Women's U.S. Open, and this new amount of money this year. What is it, $100 and some million, Dr. Bob? I mean, they're coming into their own in a big way, and they're playing golf without the controversy, without the infighting, without the palace intrigue. So I'm a big proponent of the LPGA Tour and women's golf overall, from the collegiate level all the way. All the way through. But with that said, do you think, here's the big question on my mind, and this came to me this week after continually reading more and more and more about the LIV thing and the PGA Tour and what Rolapp is doing and all this sort of jazz, really taking so many PGA Tour players really out of their job, as it were. And certainly we can't wait to see what's going to happen this next year. But do you think, as far as the PGA of America goes, Craig first, that there could be a auxiliary group that rises up, a groundswelling rises up among PGA of America members, and they formulate their own organization, not so much against the PGA of America, or in any kind of competition, or trying to take over the Ryder Cup or the PGA Championship or anything like that. But do you think there could be a groundswell of members that have just said, okay, we've had it? And by the hundreds and thousands, they formulate an auxiliary group that forces transparency. What do you think the chance of that is, Craig, in our modern day golf?
10, 15%.
Really? Bob?
About the same. I go back to what Danny Edwards tried to do and Payne Stewart way back in 1998, 1997 with the tour. They couldn't get transparency. They were fought tooth and nail at the time.
Yeah.
If you remember that, if this you, anyone don't want to read about it, just pick up the book, Driven, the Danny Edwards story.
That's right, which you and you can get that book, Bob. How do they get it?
On Amazon or at classicsofgolf.com.
There you go. Dr. Bob Denny, Danny Edwards, Driven. Fabulous book. And Danny is such a great guy. We'll have to have him on soon again and have him weigh in on this whole thing. I can't wait to hear his opinion on this whole thing with Don Ray and the PGA of America. Now, you guys tell me, with everything happening in the world of golf, where are we with the PGA Tour and Brian Rolapp and these announcements that come sort of cryptically here and there, and this little tidbit is dropped and that little kibble is dropped over there and this little thing over here. Where are the fans in all of this that watch golf week in and week out on TV that try to go events? Do you think the fans, Craig, of the PGA Tour and the big name players, do you think they really don't care about all these changes and they really only want to see the biggest names? So all of the rest, the bottom third of the PGA Tour players, don't even enter into their mind because they really only want to see the big names. Is that true? Or do you think the fans are kind of struggling with all this as well?
No, I don't think the fans are struggling at all. I mean, I've told you for a while, the part that frustrates me is that I used to be able to turn on a channel and watch golf. I can't do that anymore. So that makes it harder. I want to see all the players play golf, but the reality is in today's day and age of 10-second bites and everything like that, I can watch the 190th ranked player make a hole in one and they throw it on a replay instead of, oh, here are the great shots. That's what all the sports are running with right now. And so in a lot of ways, I don't want to sit through, an hour of golf if I find it somewhere. Now I got to pay a streaming service. I got to play a streaming service because now you can't get it anywhere else. So I got to pay for something that used to be through the airwaves. So now I get to watch this. And do I want to watch Scottie Scheffler every week? No, I don't, because it doesn't mean that the week I'm following Scottie Scheffler, he plays good golf that week. It doesn't mean that that's fun golf to watch that week.
Well, he normally does, and he probably will continue to normally play excellent golf, and he will continue to win, and who knows what's happening. So on the Scottie Scheffler side, there is
You were talking about last week. They shot these career scores. The PGA Tour is picking these, a lot of time, these, no offense, crappy golf courses. That what makes what makes them say Craig's Ranch is where we want to be? Why? Most of the people that really like certain things like certain golf courses.
Sponsors.
The reason the Open is really, really good, besides being the National, they go to these really good golf courses. The PGA Tour used to go to really good golf courses. They don't always go to really good golf courses. This is a cruddy golf course.
Here's the bottom line. They're looking for sponsors' money. They'll make a relationship with a golf course, and I think sponsors are involved in that, and maybe even networks involved in that a lot more than we think. What about it, Craig?
Well, I mean, look, we played Quail Hollow, correct?
Yep.
And we've had that golf course as a yearly place and as a major. Well, they don't change the golf course up a whole lot different. So then how are you supposed to make the difference between a major and a regular tour event? I mean, this is the challenge that our sport has, that we're not thinking enough because, well, why put that money into it? This is just golf. This, they don't think you notice it. But then why should I watch every week?
Yeah. By the way, speaking of, really crappy golf courses, I don't know, but there are those out there on the tour, Dr. Bob. But I do believe, what do you make of my comment to Craig in that I do believe that sponsors and networks are involved in this hand in hand with the PGA Tour. I don't think the PGA Tour has five people in a room and they decide what the golf course schedule is going to be for the next year. Do you?
No, it's a little more widespread than that. Sure. Just going back to something you said earlier about women, this year they have 33 events and $132 million total purses, grand total. That's the largest in history for women's golf. So they're doing fine as far as that goes. But like we've also talked about is where are you watching these events? And in Asia, they have tremendous support, obviously, because they get tremendous players. Mm-hmm. So back to what your point is that there's more than just a handful in that boardroom making decisions.
Sure.
And it's just a matter of how they adjust themselves. There's a lot of politics involved in who goes first in the deck, you know, mm-hmm. it's probably on the scale of a TV golf lottery when it comes right down to it.
All right. There was some Tiger Woods news this week, and that is he's not going to the Open Championship. Are we surprised by that, Craig? I mean, he hasn't done anything for 2 years at least.
No.
And I don't expect him to do anything anymore ever.
No.
But tell me where I'm going wrong.
Well, they announced that because Tiger Woods, and if you put the word Tiger Woods in a headline, the PGA Tour gets, you know, a surge in on their webpage and their clicks and everything like that. So, I mean, they are going to continue to try to push him. And he, in certain ways, knows what, you know, he'll win the whatever the internet thing is again this year, even though he hasn't touched a golf club. And,
well,
and I
that's
would go,
wrong
well,
too.
Why? So, I mean, once again, here's the problems. So they're going to keep pushing him because he's the only one that does anything that, you know, makes the screw a little tighter, that moves the needle. So they're going to keep pushing him because they don't know what else to do. They don't know what else to do, Ray. They have a 50-year-old guy with no ankle and one knee, and that's all they got.
Well, they continue to use the name Tiger Woods, and they continue to try to make money off of that name.
Yep.
When I say they, Craig, who are they? We're looking at networks and broadcast companies, and I think the tour, he is still their their
Cash
poster.
cow.
He's still their poster player. And when it boils down to all of it, they're still using Tiger Woods' name, image, and likeness, and news about him, to make money, to gin up interest from the fans.
Because the product can't do it on its own. Okay.
Bob?
Yeah, I agree with 100%. Before we close today, Ray, we got to make sure we note that Women's Golf Week is concluding.
Well, yeah, it's on next one on my list. Go ahead.
Yeah,
take off.
Okay. It started on Tuesday, the 26th, and goes to June 2nd. Our good friend Alyssa Gaudet is out there in Frisco, Texas, at one of our signature events. And this event, it goes, has 1,350 locations in 85 countries.
Yes.
So it's great to see the grassroots efforts for women's golf, and applaud it. And we wish we had more of those kind of ground swells.
Women's Golf Day is a big deal because it's now Women's Golf Week. Alyssa Gaudet should be applauded. She's just a wonderful ambassador for women's golf around the world. What she started years ago as an idea, as the founder of Women's Golf Day, as a very rough start, a difficult start, as many things are that are, you know, big, huge ideas. You start small and you grow big, but she surely has grown big, and Women's Golf Day has grown big, and I think it's fabulous for women's golf, Craig.
Agree. I mean, but as what Alyssa did is she started small and it was grassroots. Well, that's what the PGA of America is too. A lot of it. It's us. It's me. I mean, and unfortunately that's not where any of it's being done. It's all being done at the other end. That's why Alyssa's doing okay with her stuff. She's not letting the other people run it. It's her.
One of the taglines, equity taglines, or one of the slogans along with Women's Golf Day, Alyssa says, Women's Golf Day is live in 85 countries this week with one consistent message. Golf is for everyone. And I love that. Golf is for everyone. Folks, golf is the most inclusive game, I believe, out there globally. Of any sport. It's the most inclusive. And when I say that golf is inclusive of everyone, it means that golf also includes you. That goes for you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man, woman, young person, senior, junior, player, boy, girl. It doesn't matter. Whatever color, creed, religion, anything, nothing stands in the way of golf being inclusive of everyone. And that means you too. And I want you to know that. That's my addition to that equity tagline, I call it, or that quote, that golf is for everyone. It includes you too. Bob?
Yeah, totally. And it'd be interesting to get Alyssa back on the program to talk
she
about
will.
what the results were. But I've also watched it in a different level. And today in East Canton, Ohio, Renee Powell is delivering a great program for women around the country who are visiting Clearview Golf Club for the first time, and will bring together her Clearview Hope group, which is women veterans, to come into as well. So it's a unique and very special opportunity. And so our applause to Renee, who's been on the program with you many times.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, listen, I know that Craig has got to scoot. He has got some teaching and some work and everything else in the world going on, as we all do. So, Craig, thank you so much for joining today. I'm going to give
Thanks,
you the
Craig.
Final 30 seconds, final word from Craig Renshaw.
Enjoy this warmer weather that's coming out. Golf is in full swing, so make sure you're getting out there supporting your local golf courses and enjoy the weather, and golf is in full swing. I mean, the Open starts in a couple weeks, so we're in high demand right now, so get out there and enjoy it.
Well, Florida is having some coming into their summer, so it's going to be warm and humid in certain places of Florida anyway. My wife is actually visiting her sister in Fort Lauderdale this week.
Nice.
So she's down there with her sister and her nieces and nephew. And it's great for her to be there, although it's been raining, and it will continue to rain every single day for like 10 days. She was telling me. So it's a lot of rain going on down there. But
yep.
Craig, thank you so very much.
Enjoy your
day. We'll be back with Craig on Monday, we hope. Dr. Bob, raining and raining and raining in your area too?
Not so bad today, Ray, at all. We're pretty
Okay,
good.
good. Yeah, she's right down there in Fort Lauderdale near a wonderful inner, what do they call it? An inner causeway marina,
Intracoastal.
intercoastal marina, and her name being Marina. And she is having a wonderful time visiting family and taking a little week's relax while I continue to hold down the home front and the fort and all the work and everything that we do right here. I even am watering our plants in our garden. So yes, I'm a very well-trained husband, and among other little household chores too, I might add. But anyway, all right, Bob, I'm going to give you the final word, 30 seconds.
Okay. I just want to say that we've had our discussion about some of the issues have gone in the PGA of America over this past several weeks. And I do know that there's 30,000 very strong men and women in that program in that in the organization who get up every day and work hard to make this game the better one. And I look in the, upon them as the most important and like a family to me. So I don't ever want to lose sight of that. Despite some of the troubles we may see at the leadership level.
Absolutely. All right, there he is, Dr. Bob Denny. Thank you so very much, folks. I want to leave you with a couple of two or three extra wonderful sponsors. And of course, I have to talk about Ashworth Golf. Ashworth Golf, so huge in the 90s and the early 2000s. Ashworth Golf, stayed around, but sort of faded out of everybody's sight. And, if you're out of sight, you're out of mind. But then John Ashworth brought Ashworth Golf back and has brought it back in a huge way, not rebranding it so much as rebuilding it. The brand stands forever. Folks, if you're wearing Ashworth Golf apparel, you're wearing part of golf history. I've been saying that now for about 2.5 years. I'll continue to say it. I wear Ashworth Golf and am proud to be an ambassador. The clothes are just absolutely beautiful. They are meant for golf, and then they're meant for the lifestyle of golf afterwards. Take off after your round, take the family to the movies. You'll be very comfortable in your Ashworth Golf apparel. Make sure you go to ashworthgolf.com. And then I have a wonderful, wonderful sponsor that's been with me now for, well, I don't know, about 7 or 8 months. And this is Found It Golf. Listen, Found It Golf is a QR code, a sticker that goes on the end of your golf club grip. When you grip your club, you look down on it and you see that QR code. It is a very private and very, very, very useful way to make sure that you don't lose golf clubs. And it's good for the clubs, the golf courses, the country clubs, because it saves them time and effort, and people can get their golf clubs. How many times have you left a golf club at any course you've played? You've left your wedge, you've left even a driver. We could go on and on. A putter on the last hole, who knows? Something either fell out of your bag or you left it in the high grass around the green or out in a fairway where you took two or three clubs, as we do, driving around and dropping people off in the golf car to hit their next shot while we go to our shot. And they pick a club, they hit the shot, they love the shot maybe, or they don't love the shot and they go after it, leaving the other club or two behind in the grass. So Found It Golf is your answer. Figolf.com. Figolf.com. You're going to love this product and unbelievably affordable. You'll be shocked. Go to figolf.com. Couple of more of my new PGA merchandise show and new golf sponsors to the show. I want to mention them. The Wind Genie. I loved the Wind Genie at the PGA Merchandise Show a few months ago. There's a great video of me with Russell Colvin, the inventor and founder and owner of Wind Genie. Wind Genie is, if you want to know which way the wind is blowing, you don't grab out a piece of grass and throw it up or run around and try to find a leaf somewhere, wasting time on the tee or out in the fairway. You have a Wind Genie mounted to your golf cart. The Wind Genie always has the answer because it has a flag on it that can be, by the way, sponsors can be put on there, logos can be put on there, customized. And it goes round and round. You'll never guess at the tee or anywhere else as you're playing and riding your golf car, playing your game, the wind genie will give you the exact direction of the wind. You will love this, and you will want to get your wind genie by going to where? You're going to want to go to their website at Wind Genie Golf, windgeniegolf.com. And one more I have for you folks, back nine. You know, back nine is one of the most progressive, innovative golf companies in the, well, modernization of the game, in the promotion of the game, in the ecosystem of golf that is growing and growing now for the last several years. What am I talking about? Indoor golf, using simulators. The technology has come so far in even just the last 4 or 5 years, certainly the last even 2 or 3 years, and it continues to evolve. It continues to get better and better and better. And I'm telling you, folks, Back Nine is a wonderful company to get you indoors when the weather's inclement or the weather is too hot or too cold, in one of your local towns where Back Nine is. And right here in Anthem, Arizona, right here in North Phoenix. And I know I have a huge following in the North Phoenix area and here in Anthem, where these shows emanate from. Back Nine, the premium indoor golf experience. Mark and Peggy Podell, the owners of this Back Nine here in Anthem, Arizona. They're located right on Anthem Way in the big Safeway shopping center. You want to go to anthem at the back9golf.com if you want to send them an email. Anthem at the back9golf.com. Welcome aboard, Back Nine. I can't wait to go in and hit some shots. Their grand opening is coming up in just a few days, but they are open. You can go over there, walk in, they'll give you a tour, and you can get an hour of free golf to get yourself involved in what's going on with Back Nine Golf right here in Anthem, Arizona, on Anthem Way in the big Safeway shopping center. Anthem at the back9golf.com. And that's where you want to go to write to Mark and his wife. And therefore, you can tell them what level of membership you might want. You'll read all about it if you go to the back9golf.com/anthem. The back9golf.com. Well, yeah, I wanted to make a big promotion for them because I love it that they're right here. I love it that they are opened. I love it that we're going to be able to get out of the big summer's heat or the inclement weather that we sometimes have in the Phoenix area during the winter. So it's every day, and they've got junior things going on, instruction going on. They've got leagues going on, parties going on. You can book the place. You can book your own bay. This is a beautiful build out, by the way. This place is amazing. So I'm making a big deal out of it because I want to, and because when you come over to the Back Nine Golf slash Anthem, back9golf.com/anthem, you are going to love it. So more about that to come. Mark will come on the show, or Peggy, or both of them. We'll have them on the show soon, as we will Russell Colvin, the owner and founder of the Wind Genie, as well as Greg Ruiz from Free Baller. All these inventors and owners and new innovations and new places that are opening and golf products coming out in my summer golf product guide. Write to me, golfadams@msn.com. Folks, have a great weekend. Have a fun time watching golf. Get out and play the game, practice the game, go to the short game, men and women and young people, because that's where you want to begin and that's where it all is at. And then we'll be back with you on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show this coming Monday, right here.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.